Welcome, everyone, to a Baseball America podcast. Along with Aaron Fitt, I'm John Manuel. We're coming to you from the DeMarini Demo House podcast nook here at Baseball America's world headquarters in stormy Durham, North Carolina, reminding you that when it comes to buying a baseball, DeMarini changes the game. Introducing Demo House, where you can step into the cage and hit the latest from DeMarini before you buy, because there's no substitute for hitting a real baseball or talking to people who know both bats and batting. Your demo time in the cage is free. Get the season started right and visit your nearest demo house today. Locations and full details can be found at demarini.com/demo house. Aaron Fitt, welcome to another, the last regular season podcast of the year. My, how the time has flown by.
For you, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's actually dragged on quite a bit. No, you're right. It's been a grind of a college baseball season, Aaron, because there's basically 10 or 11 good teams.
Yeah.
And another weekend of churn at the top of the rankings, not much movement, but the rest of the rankings have had a lot of movement, Aaron, and it's really, I think we've established by this time who the favorites are in college baseball.
Right.
Let's start really quickly. At the top of the rankings, I think it's the most cut and dry top five we've had in a long time, maybe.
Well, I mean, I feel like the last few weeks has been pretty close to
the
chalk.
The top four have separated themselves. I'm wondering, and that's actually where I wanted to start. Is Coastal Carolina at the same level as Virginia, Texas, Arizona State, and Florida?
I mean, not as far as their resume. I think the resume, despite the fact that they've dominated Big South to a ridiculous degree, 25-0, I don't think their resume is quite there with those teams because of the strength of schedule. I mean, it's just not, you know, they just haven't been tested to the degree that those other teams have.
I think I really would think differently of them if they'd won that series against San Diego. I know that's only one weekend, but San Diego basically got well by going to Coastal Carolina and winning. And earlier in the year, when teams from the East, some of them, not that many of them, but teams from the East went to the West Coast, we talked about, boy, it's really tough to make that cross-country trip and then win. And San Diego made that cross-country trip and won at a team with a ridiculous RPI,
right,
a team that didn't really get tested at all in its conference, a team that just lost a midweek game. Granted, it was a midweek game, but College of Charleston went in there and beat them.
They
and
can't Charleston, beat College of Charleston, what it is.
Well, I think a big part of it is that College of Charleston has some velocity.
Yeah.
College of Charleston has some hard throwers, and maybe that's the Achilles heel for Coastal Carolina because
– I don't think Coastal – I think it's a good point. I don't think they've got elite bat speed guys in the middle of the lineup. I mean, they've
don't.
Got guys like Jose Iglesias and Tommy La Stella are really good college hitters,
right,
who are going to punish mid-80s velocity, maybe upper 80s. I mean, they can, you know, those guys are good, but they're not going to hit Texas's pitching staff.
And that's my concern is San Diego's pitching staff, which is one of the best in the country, went in there and in the words of Flava Flav, shut him down.
That said, I think Coastal in many ways can get around that problem because of the speed at the top of the lineup with Noel and Woodward. They can manufacture runs.
They don't have to put crooked numbers up there to beat you. They have good pitching in Mayo and Wheeler. They have 1-1A.
And they've got a good staff too.
They've got depth. Guys like Birmingham, Austin Flea out of their bullpen. They've got experience. They've got some good arms in their bullpen. They have depth. There's a reason why they're this good. It's not why they have this record. It's not just because they're in the Big South.
Right.
I think they'd be a top 10 team in any league they were in.
I agree. But I think they're one of the most complete teams in the country.
You've said that all year.
And I do think that number five in the country is about where they fit as far as talent and ability. I mean, and they're 47-7. Let's not completely poo-poo their resume.
Absolutely. No, we just talked about four of their seven losses.
Yeah,
two to Coastal,
yeah,
two to San Diego. The rest of the country, they've got three losses. Bring it. You know, they'll play anybody, too.
Yeah.
It's not because they don't want to schedule Gary Gilmore. They will schedule anybody.
Sure.
But I do think, I think you agree with me, Virginia, Texas, Arizona State, and now I think you have to put, for sure, Florida in that mix. From the weekend, two of the most impressive series of the weekend were Florida going to South Carolina, winning 2 out of 3, and then I guess Clemson sweeping Florida State was a...
Didn't see that coming.
That's right. We didn't see that coming. Let's talk first about the Gators. You previewed that series. Anything in that series surprise you at all, or did Florida pretty much play the way they played?
It went how I expected. I think I said in the chat last week that I thought Florida was going to go up there and take 2 out of 3 because I think Florida's just a little bit better than South Carolina. And that's what they were. They were just a little bit better. They weren't a lot better than South Carolina. They were close games up there. But, you know, I just think Florida's just a little bit more complete than South Carolina is. And
they have a little more power.
In the middle.
That's one separating factor, really, isn't it?
You're right. With Austin Maddox and Preston Tucker, and now Brian Johnson has kind of given them a third power threat in the middle, a left-handed bat there. And that guy has been really key for them, not only on the mound, but also as a nice power threat in the lineup who's kind of stepped up late. You know, obviously they play great defense. I think they might be just about the best defensive team in the country. I mean, they're certainly in the discussion for that.
It's incredible. Did Fontana make any errors this weekend?
Yeah, I don't know.
I haven't checked those boxes. But no, and we were just looking at Clemson. We're talking about Clemson, which swept Florida State this weekend, gets back in the rankings, had really been stumbling. I mean, they lost to Wake Forest, for crying out loud.
Right,
this year.
Right.
Kudos, by the way, to Tom Walter.
Tom Walter. Finished strong a little bit.
I think they won three of their last four series.
They definitely beat Maryland this weekend. They beat Clemson last weekend.
I think they beat Duke.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Duke,
you're exactly right, John.
So I'm pretty sure they won three of their last four series. And we see a lot of teams that we've banged on this year as being, you know, poor, like a Georgia. Kudos to Georgia. They did not go out like suckers. They competed hard.
That's right.
Kudos to Wake Forest. They played a little bit of that spoiler role, you know.
Yep.
Clemson bounced back from it and swept the series. But then you contrast that with a team like Southern California, which has won one series, I guess, in the Pac-10 all year.
One series all year.
Got swept four times. Got swept again this weekend by Washington
State. They gave up this weekend the most runs in a three-game series they've ever given up in program history.
It's embarrassing. I mean, if I were a Southern California alum, I would be so ill, it's not even funny. I mean, and if I were Mike Gillespie, certainly, I would be sitting back, smoking a cigar, and laughing if I weren't the father-in-law of the head coach.
That's right.
I mean, it's almost like his father's a district attorney, bad. It's just so it's so mind-blowing that Southern California fired Mike Gillespie to bring in Chad Kruder. I'm on a tangent. I just can't believe it. I'm embarrassed for Southern California, and I think it's terrible for college baseball that Southern Cal is this bad. Let's get back on task, though. Florida, I think, for sure, Aaron. For me, they're one of the they are interchangeable
Absolutely.
With Virginia, Texas, Arizona State.
That is a very clear top four, and I threw this question out on Twitter yesterday. Who should be the number one overall seed? Virginia,
Ooh.
Texas, Arizona State, Florida all have, I think, really good cases.
That's a good question.
I don't have the answer to that question. I'd probably go with Virginia. But I don't know if that's going to happen.
They have the number two RPI with Arizona State number one. Arizona State still has a regular season series. I think Virginia wins the ACC tournament, Virginia will be the number one seed, I think.
You're probably right.
Even over Florida, Florida wins the SEC. I think Florida has a little bit tougher road. They got to face Anthony Renato Wednesday in the first game of the SEC tournament.
Yeah.
That's not your average 880 ERA guy, or
850,
he is. So.
I will say this for Arizona State's case. I think there's a really good case for Arizona State. It's a great conference, and they're winning it pretty easily.
Yeah, they are.
What I really like about their resume, looking at WarrenNolan.com's nitty-gritty report right now, 22-6 against the top 50,
Who's
Arizona
tomorrow?
State, 32-7 against the top 100.
Wow.
Virginia, also pretty good, 18-7 against the top 50, 26-9 against the top 100.
That's
good,
like
but not
wins.
Quite as good.
Yeah, that's six fewer victories against great competition. That's significant. Again, I think, we'll see what happens this weekend.
I think Arizona State's got a pretty good shot to be the number one seed.
You're probably right, and that would just be an amazing accomplishment for a team that's doing it when they lost their coach last November, and they've gone all year without their supposed number one starter in Josh Spence. They've clearly adjusted. Josh Spence is not a factor.
Right.
But let's give the credit where credit's due.
I'm more impressed
guys.
That they were able to replace Mike Leake and Jason Kipnis.
Yeah, that too. But they knew they had to do that.
Yeah, they did. But, I mean, those were the two best players on that team. Back-to-back Pac-10 Pitcher of the Year, Pac-10 Player of the Year. I mean, replace those guys and not miss a beat, it's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. It's the Baseball America podcast with John Manuel and Aaron Fitt. Aaron, the rest of our top 10, not a lot of big-time news. I think one team we haven't talked a ton about, just looking down our rankings, is Auburn. And Auburn is en fuego, I believe is the word. I think we did mention that they're going to the SEC tournament for the first time since, 2003? But they won the SEC West. They really just down the stretch just kept just clubbing people. I think we know how good they are offensively. I think we knew coming into the year And this is they're kind of like Florida and San Diego in that they had a very highly regarded recruiting class. It's been a little bit of a delayed reaction.
Yeah.
But as juniors, Brian Fletcher has finally been a little bit more consistent. Hunter Morris, you wrote about him this year, he lost all the weight. He lost like 30 pounds.
Yeah.
And he's been a much more effective player, really arguably the best offensive player in the SEC this year, Hunter Morris.
Certainly make that case.
He's right up there with anybody else in that league. And then Kevin Patterson,
yeah,
who's been in and out of the lineup, still had the big pinch hit home run on Thursday.
He's got 15 or 16 home runs. I mean, the guy has been an impact player because he's, you know, when he came in, scouts were really excited about Kevin Patterson. Right. I remember because we ranked Auburn's recruiting class that year as a top 10 class somewhere.
Yeah, it was in the top five, I thought.
Might have been in the top five. And Kevin Patterson was even more than Hunter Morris, the guy that scouts were really excited about. You're not going to believe this guy's power, they kept saying.
Yeah.
You know, he can hit the ball a mile. Disappointing college career, but boy, he's got huge power, and he's connected quite a bit this year.
Yeah, and he's an impact guy off the bench, which is hard
to find.
And
he started some, but he's
right.
He's certainly an impact guy.
Then the thing is, his defense is poor.
Yeah,
and it really minimizes him. But let's talk a little bit about Auburn's chances postseason wise, Aaron. I mean, they really don't have an ace.
No.
But talk a little bit about their team outside of that offense.
Yeah.
What stands out for you about Auburn?
Well, first of all, I mean, you know, they've got a couple of competitive lefties in the rotation that, you know, that I like. I mean, guys like Corey Lucky and Grant Dayton, they've been giving them good outings. That's what they need, is they need guys who are going to eat innings for
Corey
them.
Lucky seems like he's really kind of stepped forward in the
yeah.
second half.
He's been their Friday guy,
and
he's been consistent. And Grant Dayton has been pretty good on Sundays. And you know, this week they got a freshman right-hander named Slade Smith step up out of the bullpen on in the middle game. And gave him 5 2/3 scoreless, so that might be an X factor there. But you know, I just think that they're a pretty obviously the offense is what stands out.
Right.
I mean, they can hit a lot of home runs. Trent Mumme also has like 15 home runs.
I forgot about Trent Mumme.
And he's a great player. I mean, he plays good defense in center. He can run and he's got some power. I mean, I like him a
let's
lot.
Let's talk about the fact that Trent Mumme has an .826 slugging percentage.
Jeez.
Let's talk about the fact that he has 15 home runs and 121 at-bats. And Kevin Patterson has 16 home runs and 106 at-bats.
Man.
But Mumme can play center field, you know? I mean, the state of Alabama is those two SEC teams. Those are some center fielders. Do you want Trent Mumme, who's got a 1,300 or 12, you know, close to a 1,300 OPS and play center field and has a big arm? Or do you want Taylor Dugas over at Alabama, who's got like a 600 on base percentage almost, and
a ton of walks.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's just struck out like 10 times all year.
Yeah,
I think. And who was their shortstop, Aaron, who also was injured earlier in the year and then came back?
That's Casey McElroy.
Yeah, so they're hitting .354 as a team. You can't fake that, and you just build that up out of non-conference. But
they're
Lucky, Dayton, Cole Nelson.
They're dangerous.
I think they are dangerous. They're going to host a regional.
They're definitely going to host a regional. And here's a question. Can they be a national seed? I mean, they're 12th in the latest Warren Nolan RPI. They just swept Ole Miss at Ole Miss.
And they beat Pomeranz on Friday.
They did
Pomeranz
beat
was good. He wasn't – excuse me. I haven't talked to a scout who saw him there yet. But Pomeranz was good. He pitched into the eighth inning. He had the strikeouts. He left a couple guys on base, so it was an inherited runner. He left with a lead, and inherited runners came in when Patterson hit the home run.
Yeah.
But they beat Drew Pomeranz at his place at his best. Not everybody can say that.
Here's the thing. Last week we were talking about South Carolina as a pretty solid bet for a national seed. Right now Auburn is 12th in the RPI, South Carolina is 13. Auburn won its division in the SEC West. South Carolina didn't. I mean, South Carolina did finish a little ahead
It's 21 and 9.
It's a game ahead.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, I think Auburn finished stronger than South Carolina. I mean, they played very well down the stretch. I think Auburn's got a case.
I think Auburn has a good case.
I don't know if it's going to happen, but they got a case. I mean, I think that's one of those things where
they haven't lost a weekend since the middle of April when they lost 2 out of 3 at Vanderbilt. I mean, loss is a loss. The last game there was a 3-2 loss to Jack Armstrong. He's fairly good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think you have to
won a series at Arkansas. I mean, there's, you know, they certainly LSU is down, but they did win a series against LSU. I mean,
and then they, like I said, swept at Ole Miss this weekend. Those are two very nice road series wins, and you know they played South Carolina tough. South Carolina, to their credit, I think the other thing for Auburn is I don't think they got swept. I don't know if they got swept all year.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that always helps you. When you're looking at RPI or looking at building up a big conference record. You know, in the ACC, we're talking about North Carolina not even making the ACC tournament here. And the reason they didn't make the ACC tournament is, A, the Coastal Division is very stout. They went 1-11 against the Coastal Division. They got swept four times, I guess, in the conference. Not as much as it's been 3 times.
I think it's 3.
Yeah, and then they lost the other one. They went 1-2 against the Duke University.
Right.
So, I mean, you're looking at that's why if North Carolina doesn't get an at-large bid, that's why they're not getting an at-large bid. We both think they're going to get an at-large. That should be Virginia Tech, don't we?
Yeah, they're now a top 20 RPI team. that finished fairly strong. They're 36-20 overall. I mean, I don't know that a team with an RPI that high has ever been left out.
If it has been, it's been an SEC team, you know, that's had a gaudy RPI. That doesn't usually happen with ACC teams, but
we know the committee likes the RPI though, and you know, I mean, I think their case is pretty comparable to Oklahoma State's last year, except I think it's better than Oklahoma State's case last year.
Or Baylor.
Or Baylor. I mean, well, I mean, I think it's comparable to Baylor. I don't think it's necessarily better than Baylor's case.
Okay.
But I mean, Oklahoma State didn't. We talked about it last year. Didn't have any quality series wins.
North Carolina has two at Clemson and they just
swept Virginia Tech. To me, that's enough. I mean, I don't know that I'm still not saying that they should necessarily be in.
Right.
But I think that they will be.
I think the fact that there are not a lot of great other options out there is works in North Carolina's favor. Let's talk a little bit about Clemson. I know you're going to write a little bit about them in three strikes, but I think one part of the Clemson-Florida State series is that we've been talking about Florida State being, you know, kind of been like a little poppy. They've been a little sloppy. You know, the last few weeks, they've lost a lot of Friday games. It's like Sean Gilmartin was recruited to hit and then accidental Friday starter, and now he's pitching like he was recruited to hit. I'm not putting it all on him. But Florida State's been a little sloppy lately. They get swept. Is either Florida State or Clemson? Like, if it gets down to it, isn't Clemson going to be a regional host and Florida State might be in danger of not if they don't play well in the ACC tournament?
All of a sudden, Clemson's resume looks better. I mean, they're back-to-back in the RPI. Clemson's 18-11 against the top 50 versus Florida State's 13-12. I mean, Clemson, you know, just swept them. I mean, I think it will come down to what happens in the ACC tournament between those two teams, because I think they're very close. Florida State was the more consistent team this year. They won more weekend series consistently.
They hadn't been swept.
They had won most of their series. I mean, there was a lot of two out of threes, and they were sloppy.
Yeah.
But
a
win's a win.
A series. Oh, you're right.
You win a series against Miami in a couple of comeback fashion, well, it still counts.
That's right. Win's a win, exactly. They were behind all three of those games. They still won two. It doesn't matter. Miami, another ACC club. I think they just confirm what you've been saying about them, both in our poll meetings and in the chat, Aaron. Miami's a good team. They're clearly not a great team. Every series against teams ranked either with them or above, or teams that are good teams, quote-unquote, going to regionals, chance to host, Miami has lost this
series. They've played five series against top 25 teams, and they've lost all five.
And they haven't been swept, but they haven't won any of those series.
And some of those series were winnable, but you could say the same thing for North Carolina. I mean, they should have won several of those series. I mean, they were in position to. You got to win the games. I just don't think Miami's an elite team. They're going to host a regional because they're top 10 in the RPI, and you know, they have a good conference record. They took care of business against the weak teams in that league, and that means that they are a good team.
Yeah. No, you're right.
But they're not great.
Let's talk a little bit about the regional picture, Aaron, because that's not so much who's getting in. Let's talk about the hosts. Obviously, a lot of this can change with the top 25 and with conference tournaments. But regional hosts, we've got a fair amount of locks. Which are the ones that are in play for you? Who's on my back end bubble? We talked about Florida State, Clemson. Does Alabama have a chance to host?
No,
they have a really high RPI.
No, I don't think so. That's one of those that
I agree.
The RPI doesn't matter. They're not going to host.
All right. How about UConn and Oregon, my two personal cheese balls? I would love to see the NCAA tournament. The committee stick a regional at Oregon or Oregon State if Oregon State happens to finish strong this weekend. Stick one in the Pacific Northwest. Wazoo. Can Wazoo host? I don't know. But I'd love to see a regional in freaking
Pullman.
Pullman. That would be awesome. The Idaho regional.
Yeah.
It's not Idaho, I know. But UConn. Is UConn going to host? They didn't win the Big East regular season.
I think they got a pretty good shot. I mean, I think they probably would host as a two seed, maybe. I mean,
with Florida State, is there one, maybe?
You know, I mean, I don't know that. I still kind of think Florida State's going to host. But,
okay.
I mean, again, it depends what happens this weekend. Florida State's all of a sudden on the hosting bubble for sure.
Send New Englander Jack Leggett up to UConn.
That'd be cool.
With Clemson. He'll bring all his Vermonsters out there.
Absolutely. I think that the geographic advantage is there. I think work in UConn's favor. And UConn's had a really good year. I think they've only lost one weekend series all year. It was two out of three at Louisville.
Right.
You know, they finished a half game back in the Big East. They're 43-12. They played a pretty good non-conference schedule. It wasn't great, but some of the teams.
Good,
I mean, like they played Ohio State and beat them. I mean, Ohio State was supposed to be good. I mean, they played Tennessee, you know, USC, some name teams. They went to the West Coast and took three out of four against Cal State Northridge. I mean, you know, that was in February, I think. I mean, that's, you know, for a Northeast team to go beat a Southern California team three out of four, it's saying something. So.
Absolutely. But speaking of the Big Ten, Ohio State finishes 11-13 in the league. Didn't even go to the Big Ten tournament.
Unbelievable.
That is unbelievable. I mean, Northwestern made the tournament. That's unbelievable. The Fighting Foremans. The Fighting Matt Foremans of Northwestern. How about the Minnesota Golden Gophers? Can they deliver on the John Manuel dream, win the Big Ten tournament, and be an Omaha sleeper? No. I guess the answer is no.
I think they're going to win the Big Ten tournament. I think, them or Michigan. I think clearly, to me, those are the two best teams in that league.
But Jack Dom and Iowa.
Iowa, Northwestern, Purdue, all those teams are just really surprising that they're in the Big Ten tournament. Ohio State, Illinois are not.
And
even Michigan State, which I thought, you know, early in the year I was coming around on that team, they're not in either. And Penn State had gotten hot a few weeks ago. They're not in.
Yeah, that league is about as topsy-turvy. That's a one-bid league if I ever saw one.
It's a no-doubter one-bid league. I think I do like Minnesota the best. I mean, you and I both were high on them in the preseason. You, of course, went out on a bigger limb than I with your Omaha sleeper. But, I mean, I think I wrote about them in my preseason three strikes as a team that I could see making that kind of a leap. I mean,
they got talent,
John, and it just took them a while to get going. But they're back almost to .500 overall after being really, really down. That's a great coaching job by John Anderson and Rob Fornesier and those guys to get that program back on, or that team back on track after they were really down in the dumps.
It's really amazing. Last year the Big Ten was really legitimately good.
Yeah.
There were three legitimate teams, and I really thought all three of those teams, like if Indiana had won a regional, it wouldn't have shocked me with their pitching.
No, I think I actually might have picked them to win that regional. I was bullish on Indiana last year.
We were. And this year, there's just no chance. You can't even fathom the Big Ten team champion unless it's Minnesota winning a regional. I can't fathom if Iowa wins the Big Ten tournament and then goes and wins a regional.
Maybe,
no offense to the Hawkeyes.
Maybe Michigan, just because they've got some arms. They've got, you know, an All-American caliber player with Ryan Lamar. They got some. I mean, Michigan's okay. But I agree with you. I do think Minnesota could still actually be dangerous in a regional. They played very well in the second half. I mean, they played very well. They've got momentum.
It's a great time for Minnesota baseball. The Twins are hot. Nick Blackburn's won 5 straight decisions. Let's go Minnesota. Let's touch on the Pac-10 real quick, Aaron. I had to throw Nick Blackburn in there.
Of course you did.
He dealt on Friday, dude. I'm telling you, 7 scoreless.
Wow, all right.
Then he, of course, pitched the 8th and gave up 3 more runs. I digress again. I'm worried in the Pac-10, Aaron. We've talked about that Pac-10. We've ranked 8 of the 10 Pac-10 teams have been in the top 25 this year. It's starting to look, though, like a couple of these teams are not going to make regionals. I'm looking at you, Cal Bears. And I think I'm looking at you, Arizona Wildcats.
Yeah, I think Arizona's still in pretty good shape.
You got Arizona and Oregon State head-to-head for 3 games this weekend.
It's big.
At Corvallis. If the O-State Ballers, say they sweep that series, and they're 13-14 and Arizona's 11-16, or if they win that series, Oregon State's RPI is right up there. They are the O-State Ballers. Can Oregon State do anything? Do they have to sweep that series to get in, you think?
No, I think if they win 2 out of 3, I think they're in. I think you have to win that series. I think that is a must-win series for Oregon State. But if you win 2 out of 3, you're 12-15. I mean, that's fringy. That's close. They do have a top 30 RPI. That's tough. Maybe they do need to sweep. That's going to be close.
It's looking more, though. And they have a midweek game against
Oregon. Yeah.
I think they probably should win that game if they want to get into the NCAA tournament. I think a 3-1 week is imperative.
Yeah.
If you're Oregon this week.
I agree.
But then you've got, if you're Oregon State, I should say. But then you have Cal, has lost 7 straight, and they're finishing with 4 on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, are the Cal Bears going to be
in
the tournament?
In trouble. I think I'm going to leave them out of this week's stock report. I think they're trending the wrong direction.
That's for sure.
Losing
7 straight, whereas UCLA has won 7 straight. And Wazoo is the other team that has obviously come on big time.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that ball club and just the job that they've done as a program there. I'm blanking on the coach's name. Donnie Marbot. But, I mean, Donnie has been a Pacific Northwest guy, took over the program there at a time when his predecessor had some real off-field, and there were some things they weren't winning enough, and there were some other incidents on the field, and he's not only taken over the program and recruited better talent, he's just winning. He's doing what you're supposed to do with a Pac-10 program. He's not whining about it. He's not complaining. He's recruiting talent to Pullman, Washington, and he's winning. It's really impressive.
They're a ball club full of grinders, and I think that comes from the coach. I mean, he's got that hard-nosed mentality.
And they have some arms, it sounds like.
They do. I mean, Chad Arnold on Fridays is a quality Pac-10, you know, average Friday guy. He's going to compete every time out there. He's going to give you a chance to win. He's not overpowering, but he's got pretty good stuff. I think last year Coach Marbet said he was one of the most important recruits that they had ever had there to get him to come to school. He had some health issues, and he kind of came through it, and now he's a reliable guy. And Adam Conley, the sophomore left-hander who pitched 8 strong on Sunday, he's got a great arm.
That guy's picked a click.
He was a guy in the NECBL last year who was in the top 10, one of the top 10 prospects in the NECBL. That was before his velocity jumped.
Yeah.
We had him as kind of a loose, projectable left-hander, and then all of a sudden, he started to project. I mean, the velocity jumped up. You touch mid-90s now and then. I mean, he's good. He's going to be really good next year as a draft guy, I think, John. And have those two guys bookending your rotation. They've got athletes like Derek Jones out there.
Yeah, they're right fielder.
Some good veterans. Yeah, Gary Kuykendall.
Great name.
I might have butchered the pronunciation of that name.
It's okay.
But I did my best.
That's okay.
They're pretty good. I mean, I don't know if I think they're going to win a regional, but they're certainly going to be in a regional. There's no question about that.
Yeah, they've gotten hot at the right time. But I do think we're starting to see the Pac-10, I think, is looking more like a 5 or 6 bid league, even though I think it has 7 or 8. Kind of deserving teams, but Cal and Arizona and Oregon State, I think you're looking at one of those three, not two of those three.
Yeah, you're right.
For regionals.
I think you're right.
Mark Livingston emailed us at podcast@baseballamerica.com. We should go ahead and take this podcast question. We want to encourage you to send those in. You can also post those on our Facebook page. But basically, Mark has a statement. The RPI is a ridiculous thing. Does anyone, even LSU fans, think they're a top 25 team? That was last week. Now they're like a top 30 team. Yet nothing ever happens to them. They never get hurt in the RPI. They lose a 3-game series at home to Vanderbilt, and their RPI actually improves. They had lost 11 of their 12 SEC games, squeezing in a 7-4 loss to New Orleans for good measure. Their non-conference schedule was weak. Yeah, that's where they built up a lot of their wins. From what I've read, 17 in the Pac-10 have a top 10 strength of schedule, yet they don't get the same RPI breaks. It needs to be trash. It shouldn't be used as even a small part of the decision. Aaron, basically... you read this email. I think I get hit the high points for our listeners. I think we both tend to agree. I'm not so strong about. I think the RPI can be a useful piece. I always think the RPI works very well at comparing teams within a region, within a conference, within a geographic region. But that it's apples to oranges when you're comparing the RPI in the Pacific, in the West Coast, to the Southeast or the Northeast or the Midwest. What say you, Aaron Fitch? Just in general. Is the RPI a ridiculous thing, or is it flawed but useful?
I mean, it drives me crazy. I agree to some degree with the emailer. He's right. LSU's case is not real good. I mean, I look at their resume. I'm not impressed. They did win a series against Arkansas, but that's it. I mean, what
else?
That
was their first SEC series of the year, was it not?
It was certainly early. I don't really, I'm not impressed with it. Right, they're at 36-20, so they've won some games, and
their 36-20 is not that different from North Carolina's 36-20, is it?
No, you're 100% right.
They're both 14-16 in their leagues.
North Carolina's ahead in the RPI, incidentally.
Wow, really? That doesn't make sense.
North Carolina's 19, LSU's 28.
I did not know that. That's weird, wild stuff.
I look at North Carolina's RPI. How the heck are they so high?
How is North Carolina and Alabama in the top 20 in RPI? No offense to Alabama, but they're 15-15 in the league, and they've been wildly vacillating between, oh, they're hot, oh, they're not, oh, they're hot, oh, they're not. I mean, I'll give Alabama, let's give Jimmy Nelson some props. Alabama the last 2 weekends needed to win to get in the SEC tournament and to get in the NCAA tournament, and Jimmy Nelson went out and threw back-to-back complete games. I mean, that guy, there's been some questions about the makeup with Jimmy Nelson. I'm just coming at it from a draft standpoint. That's a guy who I would not want to face in a regional. I would not want Alabama to be my number two, and I'm the number one. And Alabama wins their first game without using Jimmy Nelson, and then you got to face Jimmy Nelson in that one in the winner's game. That guy could beat anybody in the country. He's not that great, but he's going to be a second or third round pick.
He's got a great arm.
He's
certainly
got a big time arm.
He can
and he's starting to really. He's taken that step the last 2 weeks. I think he deserves some credit.
And people in that league talk very highly also about Nathan Kilcrease for Alabama.
Players are 5'7" and 5'6" in Dugas and Kilcrease, and we talk about their juniors. And the Ross Wilson, their infield got all the attention this year. Ross Wilson's taking a step back. Josh Rutledge is a really nice college shortstop. But Nathan Kilcrease and Taylor Dugas are their two best players. It's awesome, actually. It's a only in college baseball kind of deal.
Yeah. But I agree with you. I mean, I think their pads a little inflated, but at least they've won some quality series. I mean, North Carolina, you look at their non-conference schedule, and their best series win non-conference is Michigan.
Yeah, versus Alabama, which was at
College of Charleston.
And they won 2-3. That's good.
That's
impressive.
Pretty good.
I like that as well. We had one other email. We've had a lot of emails about TCU this year. Kelly Bonds at TCU.edu wants to know, is there any way TCU does not have to go through Austin to get to Omaha, Aaron? She fears that the Air Force loss last weekend killed the Frogs' super regional host chances. What say you about our sixth-ranked Horned Frogs?
Yeah, I think the emailer is probably right. I think that TCU is probably not going to be a national seed, and you know, it's again, it comes down to the RPI. I don't think that's necessarily right. I mean, if I were filling out the field, I would probably put TCU as a national seed because they haven't lost a weekend series all year. They have played a good schedule, non-conference. They've done the best they could. They won a series at Cal State Fullerton. You know, they played in the Minute Maid thing, and I think they went 2-1 there.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Against some good teams. I mean, I like TCU. I believe in their talent. I think they're an Omaha-caliber team. It's going to be tough if they have to go through Austin, which it certainly is looking like they probably will.
It does look like they will, and I wouldn't want to play Texas. I mean,
yeah.
Is there? I mean, I just don't see. I mean, I said in the poll meeting this morning, I just don't see how most of those teams at the top, that top four, if any of those top four teams don't get to Omaha, that's going to be a massive upset, don't you think?
Yeah, I agree. And you know, TCU. It's the problem is the only other host in that area is Oklahoma, and they can't be paired with Texas because they're in the same conference. So
TCU. Oklahoma did win, I think, twice head-to-head with TCU, did it not?
Yeah.
So
maybe Oklahoma hosts ahead of TCU. I think they both host.
I think they both host as well. I think let's give it to Oklahoma. We talked a lot about the Big 12 not really having a lot of separation in that league, but Oklahoma did it. They separated themselves.
Yeah.
What are we looking at to wrap up the podcast? What are we looking at in the rest of the Big 12? Does the Big 12 have enough? Are they going to be a five-bid league?
It's looking like a five-bid league to me now because Texas Tech and Kansas, I think, are in a lot of trouble after both getting swept this weekend. Texas Tech got swept by Nebraska. They're done.
Yeah, you're right. They're done.
They're 27-27 overall now.
If they're under 500, if they go 1-2 in the tournament, they're for sure done.
Right.
They can't get in with a sub-500 record unless you win your conference tournament,
right.
And that won't happen for them.
Kansas, I think, is in
carry
trouble.
On my wayward son.
I mean, yeah, geez, you know, 11-15 now in the league.
I think Kansas's chances are like dust in the wind. I can't
good
believe
reference.
I just went that
good
way.
Good reference. Six. Kansas is 54 in the RPI. I mean, it's not going to happen for them. I mean, with 11-15 in the league, they need to have a strong RPI to get in, and they don't.
So we think Baylor's.
But Baylor, Baylor, I think is the fifth team. I mean, Baylor finished strong
in the RPI.
Exactly, they're 36 right now in the RPI. I think that's good enough. I mean, they're 12-13 in the league. They finished strong. I think they won their last two series.
I think you're right.
They swept Oklahoma State this weekend when they had to. I think Baylor gets in. I think that's the fifth team from the Big 12. So I'm glad that league has crystallized a little bit because last week I didn't know what to do with that league.
It took them 14 weeks.
Yeah.
But they finally crystallized. And it's taken us 14 weeks of podcasts. But I hope we've entertained you. I hope we've entertained despite my throat this week.
Yeah,
but
it's not been your best vocal performance.
It has not been. But you know I love doing the college podcast here. And as long as the season is and as much of a grind as it is for you, I will lament the end of the college podcast, but we'll be back next week with the most fired-up podcast on the planet when we have some outrage.
You know, maybe the committee will surprise us and do a great job, and we'll just be lauding the committee for their insight. But
that would be less fun. I would have more fun probably getting all bent out of shape. I would probably have more fun doing that, but last year was a lot of fun. I do think, actually, like you talked about with the Big 12, that seems like it's happening more, Aaron. Seems like a little bit more crystallization of who's in and who's out, but you never know with conference tournaments. I don't understand why most baseball leagues even have conference tournaments. The regular season should matter more in baseball than anywhere else. But we'll see what happens with the conference tournaments. We are sending you to the Southeastern Conference Tournament. I will be going not to every game, but I'll be going to a couple of ACC tournament games over in Greensboro, North Carolina. So we'll have reports from there. People can look for you on secsports.com.
Yeah,
they're going to be streaming a pre-tournament show tomorrow. on Tuesday, and
you'll
be on that.
Starts at noon.
Noon Eastern or noon Central?
No, it might be noon Central. I should probably check that. But
I think it is noon Central.
I think it is noon Central. It starts. We're going to be on the field at the during batting practice at the SEC tournament. We're going to announce the all-SEC team live on the air. We're going to have interviews with some coaches and players, hopefully, and Coulter Bean is going to be stopping by in
that
the second
hour.
That
is so awesome. Can you please ask Coulter Bean, best SEC submarine closer of all time, Coulter Bean, Connor Falkenbach, Darren O'Day?
I will ask him that.
I think I'm voting Darren O'Day just because I just interviewed him. Darren O'Day voted for himself, that's for sure. And I'm with Darren on that one. I'll have to make some T-shirts. I'm with Darren.
Nice.
I'm with O'Day. But Aaron will be live at the SEC tournament, tweeting, blogging, streaming live on secsports.com. So we're excited about that. We'll be at the ACC tournament, and we'll be here with you next week, even on Memorial Day. No holiday at Baseball America when the Field of 64 is released. And we'll tweet about it, we'll blog about it, and we'll come back here on the podcast and talk about it at BaseballAmerica.com. We also want to remind you that when it comes to buying a baseball bat, DeMarini changed the game with Demo House, where you can step into the cage and hit the latest from DeMarini before you buy, because there's no substitute for hitting a real baseball or talking to people who know both bats and batting. Your demo time in the cage is free. Get the season started right and visit your nearest Demo House today. Locations and full details can be found at DeMarini.com/Demo House. If you haven't memorized that by now, you're weaker than me because I haven't memorized it yet. It's in there, but I haven't memorized it yet. And we thank DeMarini for sponsoring the podcast all year to allow us to talk about college baseball, and obviously we have a passion for it. So for Aaron, I'm John. We'll see you next week on the Baseball America podcast. So long, everybody.